Book of Jude, verse 3 and verse 4. Beloved, when give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. This is part of our calling that Apostle Paul is bringing to our notice. It is every believer's responsibility to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, this verse of scripture, my reading is not yet done, but this verse of scripture is suggestive of the fact that the purest form of Christianity existed with our ancestors. You see, he said we should contend for that faith which was what? Once delivered unto the saints. It means that Jesus is our example. It means that the apostles are our examples. Any teaching, anything that we cannot trace to Jesus, any doctrine that we cannot trace to the ministry of the apostles is an introduction that came along the line. And according to this scripture, we are supposed to be the functionaries that are standing at the gates of doctrine to ensure that the quality and the texture of our faith is in the same similitude as that which was once delivered unto the saints. Are you following me here? Okay. So I just want to spend a moment to unveil to us our duty as Christians in the enterprise of defending the faith. Now, if we are to defend the faith, it means that there are initiatives of the devil through ungodly men to adulterate the faith, to bring falsehood, to peddle falsehood, and to make the children of God to accept a position of falsehood, and there will be a departure from the plumb line of truth. It is to this end that we have been enjoined to contend for the faith. So there is a need for us to contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And the question you might ask is, why do we need to contend for the faith? You find the answer in verse number 4. It says, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the meaning of this? First of all, the first thing I'd like to draw your attention to is that it is prophetic. It is prophetic that this kind of men will come and attempt to invade the inheritance of God. It is also prophetic. The judgment, the condemnation that is going to come upon them was also foretold. Are you with me? It is because of these ungodly men, and the Bible went further to give us evidence of their characteristics. The first evidence of these men that the Bible speaks about is that they attempt to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. And I need some time to explain what I just said. That's the first evidence, the first sign of these ungodly men that want to rape the church and to sow seeds in the body of Christ that will culminate in a departure of the original elements, the original articles of our belief system to embrace a compromised faith. The Bible went forth to give us insight into the characteristics of this kind of men. The first thing he said about them is that they turn the grace of God and make it an item, an excuse for lasciviousness. The meaning of that, very big English, is that they assume that the purpose of grace is license to sin. Are you there? Now, why is it that grace can be abused? Have you seen the question before in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 1? The question is posed, should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Have you seen that question before? Romans chapter 6 verse 1. Now, the reason for that question is because one of the commodities, one of the blessings that the grace of God has brought to us is the possibility of forgiveness. Turn with me to the book of Colossians quickly, chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. The possibility of forgiveness is one of the blessings that we have received because of the availability of the grace of God. Now, Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet or made us qualified to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, so he will now give us a list of the things that constitute our inheritance in the light. Are you there? The Bible says that God has made us qualified to be partakers of what? The inheritance of the saints in the light. So if you are in darkness, you don't have access to that inheritance, because that inheritance is exclusive for people that are partakers and participators in the kingdom of light. So it goes further to give us insight into the scope of this inheritance. The Bible says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. First inheritance, in whom we have redemption. So redemption is part of what we inherited just because we believed in a person, and the person we believed is Jesus Christ. The moment we exercise our faith in the person of Jesus, in the work of Jesus, in the transaction of Jesus, we became recipients of an inheritance. And the first consignment of the inheritance was our redemption, which was made available through his blood. And then number two, it says, by the same blood, we have access into the economy of the forgiveness of sins. So a list of things that the grace of God has made available to us is itemized in the book of Colossians chapter 1, beginning from verse 12, reading down. And you are going to see the dimension, the scope of participation that God has called us and invited us to be involved in as we study in the book of Colossians chapter number 1. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Now, because there is the possibility of forgiveness in the blessing that comes through the grace of God, it is possible, therefore, for someone to sin willfully, expecting that he will take advantage of the forgiveness element in the grace of God and override the effect of the sin. So he continues in sin, expecting that grace, which is available in forgiveness, will perpetually abound. You get that? Are you with me? So that position of being determined to continue in sin and expecting that the grace of God will abound is what I have called theologically the abuse of grace. What did I call it? You are not following me. Someone that abuses grace, should I really tell you what is going on? One thing about sin that you need to know, sin has 12 characteristics. If you read the book of Romans chapter 7, you're going to see all the characteristics of sin. One of the characteristics of sin is that sin can deceive. All right? And the proof that sin has deceived you is that you want to continue in sin, hoping that the grace of God will abound. Anyone that is guilty of the abuse of sin is actually under the influence of the deception that sin wields. He's a victim. He has been trapped in the wiles of sin and his capacity and ability to deceive. Now, because what this guy that is hoping to take advantage of grace and remain in sin, what he doesn't know, are you there? It's in the book of Romans, Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show you that. Do I need to go that far? No. No need to go that far. All right. So I'm just trying to introduce my topic. So if I keep going too far in explaining terminologies, I will lose my message. At least you have come to an understanding of the fact that there is forgiveness in grace. And this forgiveness that is in grace is the reason for which grace can be abused. When people hope to continue in sin with they hope that they will tap into the forgiveness element of grace and escape the consequences of their sin. That state of existence is a deceived position. Meanwhile, the Bible speaks in the book of Jude about some impostors, some strange people that crept into the body of Christ unawares. By the time you trace their spiritual history, he has a lot of question marks, because believers of these days, they no longer investigate. Are you with me? You are not with me. Oh my God. It seems I've been away from home for too long that you are no longer. We have disconnected. Make sure you connect back. There's a woman that we used to know as a prophet. I'm talking about not in Nigeria, but in the United States of America. Prophet in the 80s. And then somewhere at the end of the 80s, 89, she was exposed for witchcraft, and she accepted that it was actually witchcraft she was practicing. For all those years, she was called a prophet. Are you there? A real prophet came on board in one of those meetings that she was invited. And that real prophet, moving in the authority of God, brought her to a point where she could not deny that it was witchcraft. She hibernated for a few years and repackaged herself and relaunched herself in the early 2000s as a prophet again. And she started the same things she was doing in the 80s. She began to repackage it and to dispense the same thing. Are you there? And she still had following. The reason is because the body of Christ, we do not investigate people. We do not investigate people. Once upon a time, someone rose as a prophet in our own nation, and we were old enough, because we're old enough to know where the person came from. The person used to do ritual cleansings at the Bar Beach in Lagos. Appeasements of tokens with the blood of chickens. All right? That was the person's history. And then suddenly the person started going by the name prophet. And people were attending such meetings. And they were believing that it was God that was at work. The Bible says these guys, they crept in unawares. What does it mean to creep in unawares? They discovered that the people that were available, that had the capacity to check them, were not concerned about defending the body of Christ. They were not concerned about defending the faith. They were more concerned about the empires that they were building, and they were not bothered about the state of infiltration and the agenda of infiltration that the kingdom of darkness was staging against the body of Christ. So they wait for moments. You know, we had a mighty defender of the faith in the person of Benson Idahosa. If you wake up as a spiritist and you convert to become a pastor, Benson Idahosa will visit you in that your shrine you call the church. You will have to answer to Benson. So in a day when a man has kingdom authority and his heart is for the body of Christ like Benson Idahosa, people cannot creep in. But when there are no such defenders that are on ground, people that are not, and the people that are keeping the fort are not really concerned about infiltrations in the body of Christ, such elements can creep in and masquerade to be one of us. It is because of this possibility that Jude is saying, we will need to take on the responsibility of defending the faith. The first sign of these false believers is that they seek to turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. They seek to turn the grace of God as an object of license for sin. Are you with me? Ah, you are not with me. Oh my God. What happened to us? You used to follow me before. Alright, let me show you something. Move to verse 5. Let me show them something. He said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Now, are you there? God, by an act of his sovereignty, by an act of his power, in keeping with the covenant he had with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, came to the rescue of Israel, delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh. The same God that invested so much ability, so much power, to achieve the deliverance of Israel out of the hands of Egypt, it was the same God that still destroyed them that did not believe. Wouldn't it have been easy for God to have left them there, the ones that didn't believe, to leave them so that they would just continue in Egypt? No, the time God delivered them from Egypt, they obeyed what was required in order for them to be counted worthy. Somewhere along the line, their principles, their commitment, their devotion changed. Their loyalty changed. And because their loyalty changed, they were no longer on God's side in the process of the journey. You see, please help me tell your neighbor, it's not just enough for you to confess Jesus. If you are not living for Jesus, it means that you have denied Jesus. So many of us think that it is everybody that came to the altar to surrender their hearts to Christ that actually received Jesus. As preachers, we may not know if you received him or not. But there is something we cannot miss. As we begin to follow Jesus, are you there? The ones that received him will have grace in their hearts. The Holy Spirit will be at work within them to give them the desires for more of God. But the one that has not contacted God, as we move to follow God, you will notice that he doesn't have the same impetus inside of him. That is proof of the fact that nothing actually happened to him. The same God destroyed them in the wilderness. You know why I brought this scripture out? It is because someone that has come to that point in his walk with God where he thinks that grace is an object of license to remain in sin, he is going to meet with judgment inevitably. You can't escape judgment. That is how it is. It is only those that receive the Lord and are willing to take up their cross and walk with him in partnership and participation, that will experience more and more and more grace. You know, Pastor Dan spoke yesterday about a lady that had a sugar daddy, and the sugar daddy provided accommodation for her. The sugar daddy opened a saloon for her, so she had the economy to drive her life so that she can be available for sugar daddy. It was not love that was at work. The reason for his compassion was so that she could be available for sugar. Hallelujah. May the Lord give you understanding. She came for a meeting. She called. She got born again. She gave her life to Christ. And then she came for counseling. And Pastor Dan told her that, you see, the way of the Lord requires that you will deny all of those pleasures, just like Moses had to deny the pleasures that were in Egypt in order for him to follow him that was invincible. Are you there? So that price is inevitable. So in fact, it is when you are willing to pay that price that is proof of the fact that you are worthy of Jesus. Because Jesus died to procure your salvation, you will give up some, you will die to something in order for you to follow the path that salvation creates. Are you with me? Good. Now, so if you are going to depart from sin, because the Bible says that Moses was willing to, let me use the scriptures of that verse. Let's do Hebrews quickly. I'll still come back to where Hebrews 11, verse 27. Hebrews 11, 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the king, the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invincible. Let's do 26. 24. I think the whole story begins in 24. By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You see, there are pleasures that are in sin. Sin is sweet to the flesh. Are you there? In fact, the flesh will be advising you, remain camp there. Open a saloon. Provide accommodation. Let this possibility be available. So, but if you are going to go with Jesus, you will need to forsake what? You make a choice. And that choice will make you forsake the pleasures of sin. And it will interest you to know that these pleasures of sin will only last for a season. Are you there? Can you see now? Can you see the trouble now? The trouble is that those impostors that crept into the body of Christ, because the people that exercise guardianship in doctrine and in the authority that is promoted by the truth of God, are either not available or they were put to sleep. So in those days when they were put to sleep, those impostors crept into the body of Christ. And one of the indices that will give you an idea of their identity is that they turn the grace of God into an object for lasciviousness. Whenever you see someone or a group of people that are comfortable with sin, they defend people that are thieves, defend people that indulge in darkness. Those are people that have become victims of the agenda of the devil in these last days. Because they are victims of impostors that crept in. And now sin is a trivialized matter in the body of Christ. Don't worry. As we proceed in the lecture, you will see how how we have departed. It will interest you to know that if you commit sin willfully, you are aware that this is sin, and you choose to commit sin, one of the things you have done, unknown to yourself, is that in order for you to commit sin with that ease, you had to deny Jesus. It doesn't matter if you are still lingering, you are still around in church, you know, you are still available, you walk from place to place, if you can even be a choir member, you can be a sanctuary keeper and all of that, but you have made a choice to remain in the pleasures of Egypt. In order for you to do that successfully, you must of necessity have denied Jesus. So your new God is your flesh. So anything that will satisfy your flesh will influence the choices that you make. That's your new God. We cannot talk about salvation without actually adequately articulating who your king is. Because in order for you to even be saved in the first place, it was the Lord Jesus. Lord means king. King Jesus. If you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus. It was a Lord that you confronted. It was a Lord that you came to plead with. That was the result that resulted in your salvation. So the idea of salvation is an entry point into kingdom lifestyle. And the proof of kingdom lifestyle is that you are in sync with your king. It is the will of your king that you are doing. Your life is a reflection of the will of your king. You cannot say that you are a Christian and your life is that of a stranger. For God's sake, for 16 years I worked in the oil industry in Nigeria. Those of you here know what that means. I would have come back with the biggest vehicles and brag that you see, I'm the big guy. I was the supervisor of Beachland. I can do 5 deals in 1 month. Even the governor cannot ride the kind of cars I will ride. And I tell you this for real. But you will not know that I was trekking in Lagos. I was trekking not because I didn't have ways, means of doing deals. It was because I chose Jesus. If the place is corrupt, just like Babylon was, and you introduce Daniel. And Daniel proposes in his heart not to defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Someday, the whole Babylon will acknowledge that Daniel. But if you step into Babylon and you become a better Babylonian than the Babylonians, then you have to deny Jesus to achieve that feat. There is a challenge in our generation. And the challenge is that people have become so comfortable. You see, I don't know. But you see, we receive the wrong message of prosperity. Because today we believe that prosperity is a mark of godliness. That was the error of Balaam. When the emissaries from the king came to consult with Balaam. Meanwhile, Balaam had received an express instruction from God not to accompany them. That this thing cannot end well. The man looked at the gain. Looked at the gold. He went back to consult. Meanwhile, the instruction was clear. Until he moved out of the perfect will of God and was on the platform of permissiveness. At the end of the day, he became a victim of judgment. Because he was killed. And the Bible told us why he was killed. The reason why he was eventually killed was because he now allied with the enemy and gave them counsel. And told them that these guys, you cannot win them in open combat. They have a God that is Sabaoth, the man of war. You can't win him on the field. But he's a God of righteousness. He's a God of holiness. And it happens to be that your ladies are fair to look upon. Why not allow them go naked in their camp? Pam param pam pam param pam 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 para. That if they fall into sin, it will be that their God that will destroy them by himself. Nobody can discomfit their armies. Have you not heard of the tragedy that befell Pharaoh and his chieftains in Egypt? If their God rises up, you will become a victim. So the reason why they considered Balaam as an enemy was because of that counsel. And in the day of judgment, when Israel purified herself and the strength of Israel rose from her midst, they had to locate Balaam to destroy him. The faith of any corrupter is damnation. If you are indeed a kingdom man and you are brought in, five times they didn't promote me. You should be ready for that. Because if you say that because of your faith, you are more a Christian than you are a technocrat. Because of your faith, you cannot do play ball. What they will do is that they will relegate you to the background and make you relevant in the system. It's better for you to be relevant in the system and have a robust relationship with Jesus. Are you there? Are you there? It means you have proven to all eyes that are willing to see that the job is not your God. You have registered that witness in that place. And you know, the best of my life happened when I left that job. When the same Jesus came to me and said, "You leave." I left with a testimony. Yeah. I know it. That's why I say it publicly. I left the place with a testimony. I served Jesus. Oh, I didn't have a car to ride. But you know, in this current time, God has not allowed me to buy a car. I was given a gift of a car. It's on Facebook and I discovered the value. I was given a gift of a car and I took it to those of you that know Abuja. The moment they gave me the gift, I took it to Annapolis. Annapolis in Abuja is a company that has a franchise, an auto mechanic franchise from Europe. So by the time you are coming with your vehicle and it's Mercedes-Benz, they have the updated Mercedes-Benz computer frame. So they plug it into your car. The thing will read your car. It can even tell as much as your brake pad, that your brake pad is down. It can tell you that much. So it will read all the ailments of your vehicle and print out a sheet that contains all the issues. So we drove it there. Then they printed it out. And they now wrote us a quote, hallelujah, of what it would take to fix all the little things, and it was 8 million. Jesus. Now, the car I'm talking about, we fixed it. Because I was seeing myself cruising it in the spirit, just cruising it with the lights on. And my wife on this side. I'll see myself cruising something. Yeah, big! You know, you see, in Mercedes-Benz, when you see S-Class, that's limousine. That's the car. Alright. You just, from that bridge there, you're on the lights. The roadblock, they will remove those things on the road. Jesus Christ. So when we finished fixing it, I fixed it. So I was praying in the bathroom and I saw a vision. A vision that the car never got to Makurdi. I sent it to my father in the Lord. It was so clear. So the reason why you have not seen that car is because the real owner has taken it. So I'm just telling you, are you there? Go. The last person, my father in the Lord was telling me that the last person he saw with that car was President Goodluck Jonathan. Now, I didn't buy it, but it was given to me. Because when there was opportunity to compromise. I say, Jesus is my God is Jesus. May you be a fool for Jesus. So that he will elevate you in the days to come. A true believer doesn't draw the sense of his worth from material things, but his security is rooted in his intimacy with Jesus. He has come to understand that in Jesus, he has access to all things. Hallelujah. So I was there. I had the opportunity to do anything, and no one would have been able to trace any corruption to me. We were smart enough to clean our tracks. That even if you use laser, you will not trace it to me. But you see, heaven knows that you accepted Egypt as a better option than Jesus Christ. Now, so these guys that I'm talking about are people that have come with a new philosophy to the body of Christ. And the philosophy is that grace is an instrument, is a license for sin. So these ones are willing to camp in sin and legitimize sin and sin around and make sin popular. It is against such elements that the Bible says we need to defend against their influence. Now the Bible reveals that the body of Christ needs to be defended. Defenders will need to arise to defend the body of Christ from the influence of such individuals, because they are working, they are in partnership with darkness, with Satan, to ensure that the church is no longer a ground that holds the influence of the throne of God dear. It means that in that day, the gate of hell would have prevailed against the church. So the first identity of such individuals is that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Turn the grace of God as a license to they boast about sin. They boast about the gains of riches of unrighteousness. They boast about it. It's something to boast about. Meanwhile, all of that was accumulated as a sign, the extent to which Jesus had been denied in that life. I serve Jesus. It is what Jesus makes available to me that I need. I don't need what Jesus is not willing to give me, because Jesus knows my frame. He knows what I can hold in store and still remain loyal to him. And he will not allow me to have what will become a god in my life, because he himself is jealous about me. So I stay with Jesus. But many have taken off like a tornado. They have embraced Egypt and his wonders and his pleasures, and have decided to camp there while saying Jesus on their lips. I've not seen that kind of contradiction before in my life. But we are called to defend the faith. Are you sensing what I'm talking about? Yes. It's not supposed to be a job for one man. It's a job for the body of Christ. We are all what? Called to do what? Defend the faith. Let me tell you something. If I'm the only man standing doing this job, I will do it till I die. If I'm the only man standing, till death do me part. I will never see evil and call it good. I will never see good and call it evil. The reason is because I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. As I travel from place to place, you know, somebody says, oh, let's wait for him when he goes to preach in London. He's going to change his message. When we went there, the message was hotter than the one I preach. Go look for my messages in 2007, 2006. Listen to them and listen now. You will see that the spirit, the thing has not changed. And it will never change. By the good grace of God. Are you there? When a man of God is caught in sin, what is expected of you is you come and say, I apologize to you people. I was sent to you people, but I missed it. pray for me. I will be off the pulpit. Because it's just like you are driving a car and your tire is deflated. No matter how you are in a hurry to go to the hospital, no matter how much haste you are engaged in, because your tire has been deflated, it will be, you will need to stop the car and go and fix the tire and inflate it before you can restore the tire. So what sin does to a man of God is that it deflates him. It makes him a liar. If in that state of sin, you are saying, repent! Demons, you may have made a day for demons. They will look at you and they will start dancing. Because you are a liar. You will need to stop that vehicle, jack the tire, remove it and go and work on it. Are you there? So such a preacher should leave the pulpit. His life with God, his soul is more important than the pulpit. And it must be revealed in his life that he prioritizes his soul, a more precious commodity than any form of visibility and any form of defense he can present. You should go back and allow Jesus to inflate you at his own pace. It might take 6 months, it might take 1 year until you are adequately inflated. And the thing for which you fear, when you look at it eyeball to eyeball, you no longer triggers anything on your soul. Your heart has been weaned from his influence. And your ears can hear God again as freshly as you used to hear him before. Then you can be restored to the pulpit under supervision for another 6 months. When it becomes customary for you to do the will of God, then we rejoice that one brother has been restored. Restoration is big business. The Bible speaks about it so clearly. It's big business. Because if you don't take time to undergo that attendance to the intensive care unit of the grace of God, so that the taproot of sin can be cut off from your soul, you will grow with it to old age. I've seen ministers that did not deal with issues at old age, at 70. Those symptoms were still there. I will leave the pulpit because I treasure my soul. And I will tell you here. See, your pastor, Ife. You know what? Truth is the only thing that can liberate. I will tell you, it will be online too. Just like I preach every day online, I will come back and it will be online. Say, your pastor, Ife. So give me a break for 1 year. Do me a favor. Be visiting my house every day to pray for me, to lay hands on. As you pass close, branch. Say, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on him. Have mercy on him. Have mercy on him. So that each and every one of us will know that the path of sin is a path of darkness. It's not something that is compatible with the soul of man. He can administer an anchor that will trap you on one spot. Now, so that's the first sign of these individuals. They have turned the grace of God. Sin, grace is a proof of license. So nothing is wrong again. Because the grace of God is there. He said, beloved, don't be deceived. And he gave three examples. The first example is that those people that God saved with his great power through the wilderness, he destroyed them. Are you there? Because of unbelief. The second example he gave in the book of Jude is that the angels that refused to be domiciled in their habitation but left their own estate. That's verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate but left their own habitation and had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. The angels left their estate. What happened to them? They are kept in chains till now. Can you see the swift judgment that accompanies rebellion? It is conclusive. It is definitive. It is decisive. I want to prophesy to you again. The Lord has descended upon the church in Nigeria. He has descended. Yeah. And you know, when God wants to judge nations, the first thing he judges is that he comes to his house and he brings judgment into his house so that he can have the legitimacy to judge nations. So God has descended and he is visiting his house now. This visitation will continue for 3 years. And all kinds of strange things you are going to hear in the body of Christ. People humiliated. People that have been keeping secret sin and all of it will be exposed to lamplight. So if you can't handle it, look for cotton wool, put in your ears, because you will hear stories. Oh my God. The Lord has descended. And he will begin to uproot strange things. He will begin to expose imposters. People that are using his name as a cover up for iniquity. God is on rampage. God has decided to visit. He's been quiet for many years. So people build thrones. People give themselves titles. Come with me quickly. First Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. This was one of the clear prophecies that Apostle Paul gave. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now go back to Jude. Go back to Jude. I have not finished Jude. Go back. Okay? We'll go back to, we'll enter into 1 Timothy chapter 4. Then I'm going to show you this, what we call the spirit of the last days. The spirit of the last days has an agenda for the body of Christ, has an agenda for the church of Jesus. Okay, the first sign of these imposters is that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Second sign of the imposters is that they and denying the only Lord. In order for you to camp in lasciviousness, you must have denied the Lord. Do you get what I'm talking about? Or you don't get me? Are you following me? Okay. They deny the only Lord and the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, do you know there's something that is constant in Lord God and then Lord Jesus Christ? What is constant there? Lord. So what these guys have denied is the Lordship of God, the Lordship of Christ. That means even though they claim that they are born again, they've not accepted Jesus to rule over them by his spirit. They have made it something of joy to model their lifestyle outside of the influence of the government of God. So these guys have denied the lordship dimension of God. That means they have said that God will not rule over them. And a man that God is not ruling over, it is the flesh that rules over. Because there is no neutral ground in the spirit realm. It's either God is the one that is ruling over you, or Satan is the one that is ruling over you. And how we know what is ruling over you is the fruit that you produce, the fruit you bear. If God is the one ruling over me, my life will bear fruit unto God. If Satan is the one ruling over me, my life will bear fruit unto Satan. So there are things that will be my conduct that you cannot trace to God, but you trace to Satan. So if my life is an advertisement for Satan, I cannot claim to be in the service of God. Because when Satan wants to manifest a new product, it is my life that is used as an instrument to advertise Satan's new strategy, Satan's new product. I can even be saying Jesus, 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 but my life is advertising Satan's new invention. So what I'm trying to do with my life is that I'm trying to discredit Christianity and make Satan's way more popular. So I cannot claim to be in the service of the Lord. The moment you find any believer that doesn't acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus Christ, it means that that believer is an advertisement to the strategies of the devil, to the new inventions of the kingdom of darkness. The fruit that his life will bear is fruit unto Satan. Are you with me? So there are two marks of the people and their influence of which the Bible says we need to defend the body of Christ, defend the same truth that was given to us of old. Because there are imposters that are coming and they have two basic marks. Lasciviousness because of grace. And then they have not accepted the lordship, the government of Jesus, the government of the Father. Come with me now. We can now go to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4. And take inventory of what we call the spirit of the last days. Then I will labor in the scriptures to show you scenarios, snapshots of how Paul defended the truth. Then you will discover that it's not passive business. It is very active business. And just in case we are not active in the enterprise of defending the truth, it might be because we have compromised in one way or the other. That's what makes a man silent when he's supposed to be speaking. First Timothy chapter 4 verse 1, he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times some shall depart from the faith. Is the agenda of the devil. This is the intensity of the workings of darkness in the last days. And the objective is to make many depart from the faith. I know many people that have stopped attending church because they met a lascivious man of God. Someone that was claiming to be a man of God. And then when the person had the opportunity to be with a lady beyond the sight of men, he didn't behave like a man of God. So that lady now has judged all of us. And she no longer wants to hear any man of God because they are all the same. So the objective of the spirit of the last days is to make people discredit God, discredit the church, discredit his messengers. And the way he achieves this is through the operation of seducing spirits. Now, I think we need to define a few terminologies here. A certain lady came for, they brought her, she had some deliverance challenges, and they brought her, her relatives brought her. So I noticed that when I wanted to counsel with her, she would get angry. I didn't know why. Well, it's okay. It was after a long time, because they didn't go, so they were around. It was after a long time, she now came to me and said, and apologized for her behavior. And she said it was because of an experience that she had. So the experience was designed to make her depart from the faith. Depart from the faith. That's the objective. Some shall depart from the faith. Something else will become their preoccupation. And their first preoccupation can either be the efforts of seducing spirits or the efforts of the doctrines of devils. So Satan is The spirit of the last days want to plant doctrines taught by devils as the main object of our preaching emphasis. Are you there? The spirit of the last days wants everybody in this room and everybody under the sound of my voice to be a victim of seducing spirits. Now, Pastor Tony, can you grab the microphone and tell us what seducing spirits are? What are seducing spirits?
They are spirits that lure people into a lifestyle and a pattern that is inconsistent.
Now, these spirits, in order for you to live unrighteously and be comfortable with it, you must be under the influence of a spirit. Are you with me? No believer that, in fact, are you following? Oh my God. Okay, because you are not following. What will we do?
I'm following.
What? You see, I've already judged that you are not following me. Are you following what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Do you know that a believer doesn't need to be told that something is wrong? If you do something wrong, you will know inside. Yes. There is an inbuilt system of discernment that is inside of your heart. If that system of discernment is still there, it's proof of the fact that you are spiritually healthy. You need to listen to my messages. I preached a sermon on the four symptoms to show that you are still in spiritual health. And one of those symptoms is that you still feel uncomfortable when you sin, when you err, when you say something that God is not happy about you. You are the first to know. The people you are talking to will not even know that you lie. Who is with me on that? They won't know. And the reason why the Holy Spirit exposed it, that was what we call the ministry of light. The reason why the Holy Spirit exposed it is so that you can crawl from that place back to your closet and ask him for mercy. Because he's saying that that fruit you bore was not from me. That fruit you bore was from the devil. That's not my nature. That's not the way I do things. Go down. Yeah. That's not how I do things. It was not my nature that you represented. It was his foul nature that found occasion through your soul. In order for you to have lied that lie, you were seduced. Satan had preached to your heart that there is a profit that you can get by lying. That was why you were encouraged to lie. The Bible says the spirit of the last days intends to seduce every believer so that we will think that there is profit in disobeying God. And those things don't happen by accident. I was given a vision of glory once upon a time, and God showed me how demons deceive people. And I saw a slimy spirit from the river, and he had tattoos on his body. And he was whispering into the ears of a man. He said, this is how seducing spirits deceive people. They speak into people's thoughts, and the people think it is their thoughts. In order for you to depart from the living God, you will need help. You will need to be seduced. You will need to be deceived through the subtlety of a deceiving spirit. And the agenda of the devil for the last days is that he wants every one of us to become a victim of seducing spirits and a victim of doctrines taught by demons. So demons are teachers. Demons are teachers. Bringing instruction, bringing wisdom to the body of Christ. That is Satan's intention. That the gates of hell will prevail. When John said we should try all spirits, why did he say we should try all spirits? Because he said many false prophets have gone into all the world. Are you with me? Or you are not with me? I told you that the idea, the definition of a prophet is a mouthpiece. Someone that speaks on behalf of another entity. He said, try all spirits because false prophets. It means Satan has found a lot of mouthpieces upon the face of the earth. And that's why he's encouraging us, enjoining us to try all spirits. I need to show you what it means. The actual activity of defending the faith. I'll show you number one. Then I'll round up. Apostle Paul was that brother. That mighty warrior in the spirit. That we could call a defender of the faith. And it's a very radical thing to do. Very radical. As we study, you will find that things that you don't even do. Eh? Things you will not do. Apostle Paul did to defend the faith. Very radical. It's not a quiet thing. It's not a passive thing. Let me show you number one. Then I'll close for today. We'll continue subsequently. The purpose of this teaching is to make every one of us a defender of the faith. A defender of the faith. A defender of the faith. And the reason why we need to defend the faith is so that seducing spirits will not take over. So that people will not believe in doctrines taught by devils. Acts chapter 17. Beginning from verse 16. Acts 17. Beginning from verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was stirred in him, and when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So this city has fulfilled Satan's vision. The reason why they are totally in idolatry is because there are doctrines taught by devils that the city has accepted, and the entire city is in a state that Satan wanted it. But when Apostle Paul had to wait in that city, he saw that there was a problem. His spirit, the Holy Ghost in him, was stirred. Hallelujah. Because the city was given to idolatry. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews. Can you underline? His first activity of contending from the truth was what? Disputing. Can somebody help me with the meaning of dispute? Oh, you guys are quiet now. He disagreed with them publicly, providing evidence for your position. So a pastor calls me and he says, is it not possible for you to see something wrong and keep quiet? That is the state of a man that deceiving spirits have caged. Part of the things that could not be bound in the ministry of Apostle Paul was the gospel in his mouth. Even though he was confined to a prison cell, he said, I'm bound with chains, but the gospel that I preach, the gospel that was called to steward, he cannot be bound. That's when he began to put the gospel in letters. It was the letters he wrote from prison that got to us in our generation. Say, yes, you bound me. But I cannot stop talking. If I can talk with my mouth for people to hear me, I will talk with my pen. And that's why he told his sons in ministry, do not forget to come with the parchment. Do not forget to come with the books. Because in prison, he was detained so that he can have a moment to transfer the content of his spirit to letters, to parchments. Oh my God. Oh my God. At any point that you become silent, it means you are compromised. So the pastor calls me and he says, can't you see something wrong and keep quiet? I didn't take bribe like you. My mouth is not bought. I speak for Jesus. The Bible says that Apostle Paul's spirit was stirred up. Because his spirit was stirred up, what did he do? Therefore, he disputed. Now, you will see him as a troublemaker, but he was causing trouble for the right reason. Not because he wanted to cause trouble, but the Spirit of God stirred him up. It is when we stand before Jesus. It is when we stand before him in the days coming yonder that you will discover who was really a man of God for his generation. Who God has anointed to be a prophetic voice for the land in these days. The Spirit of God stirred him and he began to dispute. Before Paul came, everybody was silent. Nobody could speak. Because the seducing spirits have created a sense of fear, terror. Only men that are born free in Christ Jesus can speak when others seem quiet. He disputed. The first symptom of contending for the faith is the boldness to dispute when you see error. It will surprise you to know how many people will be delivered because you were willing to stand up and to dispute. May people not die in your because you decide to be silent. It is a calling to defend the truth. And my die, the die of my destiny is already cast. This is the path I will follow till my dying day. The Bible says, why men slept, an enemy came. But enemies will not come on my watch because I am not about to sleep. I was called to be a defender of the truth. Jesus gave me this assignment. And I will serve him faithfully as long as his spirit stirs me. The journey of the lascivious to cripple the continent of Africa. To keep us perpetually in chains, in darkness or blackness. Those days are over. Because when God wants to liberate a people, what he does is that he sends a voice in the spirit of a man. His spirit was dead in him. And he rose up and he did what? He took scripture. I said, okay, you Jews, wait. What is the authority that you believe in? Is this still the Torah? Then from the Torah, he began to what? To dispute it. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons in the market daily. For how long? Daily. With them that met him. Are you there? He did that daily. 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 Disputed. Okay. Now, let me show you a scripture, then I'll close. Show you a scripture, then I'll close. All right, let's do Acts chapter 19 from verse 5 to 11. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all them were about 12. And he went to the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months. What was he doing? Disputing and what? Persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So we have another word has been added in defending the faith. He disputed, and then he did what? He also persuaded. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil, because it's a contention. So they spoke evil of that way before the multitude. He departed from them and separated the disciples, the people that believed, separated them. What was he doing? Disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. That was when the revival came into the classroom. You know, the revival was born in the upper room. Oh my God, you are not with me. The revival was born in the upper room. This was when the revival came into the classroom. Because even though people had fire, they did not have enough content, Bible content, to do the work of the ministry. So Apostle Paul took them to the school of Tyrannus. Where it was in the school of Tyrannus, he converted Jews that were devoted to Judaism. They were converted to become Christians because he was disputing daily. And the Bible gave their report sheet. And this continued, verse 10, by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwell in Asia hear the word of God of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. In 2 years, because of consistent disputing, the entire region of Asia had heard what? The word of God. Verse 11. There's an aspect of defending the truth that has to do with signs and wonders. See verse 11 there? And God wrought special miracles by the hands of what? Of Paul. Now listen, it's just like Elijah in the valley of dry bones. The way the nation was to know that God is God is when he answers by fire. So in the days where there is falsehood and people begin to rise to defend the truth, God will back them up with strange signs and wonders. And God did special miracles by the hands of Paul. We're going to stop there today. So he disputed, he persuaded, and he wrought what? Miracles. I'm going to stop there today. We'll continue next time. And you will see the journey into defending the faith. This is one of those seasons where there is a red alert. And the kingdom of God is looking for defenders. People that will stand to unveil the mind of God and to stand on the position of the truth. Rise on your feet as we close. I think my message has 3 parts. This is the first part. We're going to continue the next time I have the opportunity to minister to us. I need to show you the enterprise of defending the faith, so that we all will not become victims of seducing spirits. We all will not become professors of doctrines taught by devils. Functionaries responsible enough to stand for God and stand for the truth must arise from among us, from all the nations of the world, saying no to Babylon, no to Egypt, no to darkness. We are sons of light, and our inheritance is in the light. We have no bond, no contract with the kingdom of darkness. Can you cry today and say, Lord, empower me to be a defender of truth. To be a defender of truth. To speak out. And just in case you don't seem to have the moral ground to be able to do that because there's a sin in your life, you can ask God for mercy quickly, quickly. Because the business is becoming intense. This kingdom business is becoming intense. It's becoming intense. It's becoming intense. Becoming intense. In the days of the apostles, there were some iniquities that should not be mentioned among the brethren. Some sins that are abomination to speak about where brethren are gathered. But today, lasciviousness is the order of the day. The God of money is worshipped on many mountains. But we will not deny you, Jesus. We will not deny you. It's no longer popular to stand with you, but we will not deny you. We will look upon the cross and the sacrifices that you have made for our soul, and we will stand to proclaim your majesty in our generation. Whether we live, whether we die, we are the Lord's. And he that has this hope, the Bible says, he purifies himself as the Lord himself is pure. There is a journey towards purity that must overtake the heart of every true believer. We are yours. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture. Oh my God. Oh my God. Kobe si kobe mina itele. You have said it. That out of Benue, a renaissance will take place. Voices of light will emerge that will hold the way of the kingdom. We shall not be weary. We shall not be intimidated. We will not be beaten into silence. Because we have a call to defend the faith that was once and for all delivered unto our ancestors. Wants to be politically correct cannot do this kind of business. We do not seek to be accepted in the sight of men, but we seek to be great in the sight of God. Igo baba si katalia. Yeko setehi. Africa must be free from her shackles. Africa must be delivered from her bondages. The sons of the kingdom must arise. This is the time of our destiny. Psychopelani sopresco filabo conda. I will see. Of the mercies of the Lord, with my mouth shall I make him known, and for the rising of the sun, right until he's going down, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and I will sing of the mercies of the Lord, and with my mouth shall I make it known, from the rising of the sun right until it's going down, I will sing of the mercies of God. One more time, can you sing to him?
I will sing of the mercies.
We will carry your banner from place to place. For Noah was a preacher of righteousness.
I make it known.
son did not accept him, but his voice could not be bound. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. Que la branda baboria escufe le membros quito baracube basile. Rai consemo comperamo bracaseli kedia jamina copeda scude bando eco bose eco bariasi copanda abrama masuke bacatalia e braito copelame si mamma condele che sin will not be popular in my time. Men will be ashamed of sin. Oh God, Sia Kaba Babo Santoni.